want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to go to chapter 4. And we're going to be, you know what, we're going to, I believe we're going to begin in chapter 3. Let's go to Hebrews 3:16. And let me know when you are there. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what it says. We're going to go from Hebrews 3:16 to 4:11. Okay. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did for his. 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We are talking today about the promise that God has made, a promise of rest. Amen. And you know what the word rest means? Amen. The word of rest, what it means is that you have, that you can literally sit back and rest in the blessings of God, the blessings that he has bestowed on you and your family. You can sit back and just look and say, wow, I can rest in the promises of God. What I see with my own eyes, it is beautiful and it is lovely. Just like the Lord, just like we read in these scriptures, the Lord on the seventh day when he created and he finished with creation, he rested. And when he looked, he says, this is very good. This is very good in my eyes. Amen. And how many times has the Lord truly, has to you, it's been such a blessing. Whatever he's done in your life, whatever circumstance you were in, and you were able to get out of with his guidance, or whatever area in your life you had, amen, that you were struggling with, or that you would see no end to it, when it was all said and done, didn't you just sit back and you just rested and say, wow, God, you truly came for me. You truly did this. Amen. And even last night I'm reading and I'm studying and but I just sat down, I just sat down and I said, wow, Lord, finally I'm sitting down, my feet are throbbing, my body is aching, amen. But I'm sitting down, I said, and I was just resting, just visualizing my home, my new home. And just thinking, wow, Lord, I am truly resting in the promise that you made me and in the blessings that you have bestowed upon my life. Amen. And that's what it is about, resting in the promises of God. Amen. And what we read here today is, he's really talking about the rest that you can have in the Lord. If you would just obey and believe in the word of God, amen. And what we read here in scripture this morning is he was referring to the land, the promised land of milk and honey that the Lord had promised the Israelites, amen. And we most of us know the story. God chose Moses, an unlikely individual, an ordinary man that couldn't even speak well because he would stutter, but God made a way throughout the whole time. He was with Moses the whole time, amen. No, don't worry. I'm gonna get you a spokesperson. Don't worry. I'm gonna be with you. Don't worry. I'm gonna do whatever I promised that I was going to do. Amen. Because God made a promise that there was a land flowing with milk and honey awaiting them. Amen. And when we read from scripture, there are two things that will stop you from achieving entering into that promised rest, into that promised land. And that is unbelief and disobedience. Amen. And when I was reading last night and I was reading this, I was like, oh my God, it was almost like, almost like a metaphor, amen, because God has promised us, I know he made a promise to me, promised us a sanctuary. We've been praying for a temple of praise and worship for years, amen, and that promised will come to pass as long as we remain obedient and believe that the Lord will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a day where we're going to sit back and we're just going to just sit back and admire. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Admire how gracious the Lord has been. Admire a sanctuary. Admire a temple. Admire the people worshiping. Admire the land filled with flowers, filled with the freshness and the beauty of God's holiness surrounding it. I mean, if you can just envision, let me tell you something. If you can just envision a sanctuary, envision a building, envision a temple of praise and worship, envision the Lord's tabernacle, then it shall be. It shall be. You have to get your vision and your eyesight to work. You can just close your eyes and see it. And right now, there's no physical building in the piece of land that we purchased 5 weeks ago. Amen. But when you close your eyes, you can actually envision it. And you instead of saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, you just got to say, God, I know you will do it. Amen. Because that's where belief comes. That's where you got to take the word of God. And you have to mix it with faith. Amen. Blend them together and stand on it. You got to stand on the word and walk by faith. So it shall come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we know from reading right these verses, you know, God is speaking about the rebellion that was present with the Israelites. I mean, God brought them out from slavery. They were enslaved. They were working long, long days and nights. They were held captive. They were mistreated. Amen. And God freed them. He opened up that Red Sea. They walked right through dry ground. Amen. God delivered them. God used Moses to deliver his people. And when they got over to the other side, shortly after, they began to complain and complain and complain. And it wasn't just about God. They were complaining about Moses. They were complaining about the leadership. They were complaining about many things. Even to the point that they wanted to go back to live how it was. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to remain on Zoom forever. Amen. Once we get into the temple, I ain't going back. Amen. You know what I mean? Like, no, you know, God has us here right now. This is, God is very well aware of what we've been through for the past number of years. Amen. God knows everything, but also God also holds time in his hand. It's got to be in his time. But you have to know without a shadow of doubt that God, whatever promises he's made me, he's made you, they shall be fulfilled. Amen. And the only way I don't even want to say prolong it, but the only way that it will not come to fruition is if it's you begin to walk in disobedience and unbelief. And that's what happens to the Israelites. They began to complain. They began to disobey the Lord. I mean, they were putting up idol gods. They were worshiping idol gods. Amen. They were making statues and worshiping these gold statues. I mean, they disobeyed the Lord, and they disobeyed the Lord, and they disobeyed the Lord. Amen. And Moses stood in the middle of that, and he literally asked the Lord to forgive the people. But it happened over and over and over so many times. This is where the grace of God comes in, man. It just happened and happened and happened. My Lord, I mean, when you think about ourselves, how many times, me included, have we complained about our jobs? How many times have we complained, period, about a number of things? And yet we see, when we look at it, when we really look at the heart of that complaint, is it really that bad? Especially when we complain, I complain about work and I have to like get a grip, and the Holy Spirit will nudge you and say, hello, you asked for this position, you asked for this job. Don't complain about it. You know, this is a blessing. This is part of me living. This is how God uses me to bless other people. This is how God uses me to pay my rent, to pay my car. Amen. To make a living. God said he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, he supplied it through our jobs. He supplied it through our homes. How many times have we Do we complain of our homes? Oh, I got to do this. Oh, it's going to cost me money. Da, da, da. And we just go on, not realizing your home is your blessing. Your home is your promise of rest. Amen. When you sit back and you look at your home, my Lord, where it was to where it is today, it is a blessing from God. He has given you the finances to make it look better. He has given you the finances to upgrade your home. Amen. Hallelujah. Even, you know, talk about upgrades. How many times do we complain about our flights and then all of a sudden we get an upgrade? Amen. How many times we complain about our hotels? I had that happened to me in Texas when I went a couple months ago. I complain about the hotel. And yes, sometimes you are due for a complaint, not against God, but against customer service. Amen. And that's okay. Amen. And that's okay. Because sometimes, you know, opposition comes in to disrupt your rest. Amen. But this happened to me and they gave me the last room available, which was not, I felt like I was a nobody when I already had reserved a room a week before, and they gave me the leftover, and I felt so underprivileged. Amen. And even though I remained, I stayed that night in that particular room, which I was not happy in at all. The next day, I felt I need to complain. I'm sorry, but I need to complain because this is not right. You know, and I went to the desk and I complained and I said, I'm going to go back home tomorrow morning and I'm going to give you a really bad review and report, because when I called and I said, I'm going to check in late, but it wasn't for you to give my room away. Amen. That is not right. Oh, but that's our policy. I don't care what your policy is. I know I reserve a room. It was already, I said, I'm a Marriott member. This never happened to me. I've always called when I'm checking in late. This has never happened for you to put me in a leftover room. So what they did is said, we're sorry, we apologize. Let me get the manager. The manager came. Next thing you know, they put me in a suite. A full suite that sleeps 8 people. I went by myself. That sleeps 8 people. But anyway, I said, okay, there you go. I'm going to rest in you, God, now. I'm good. But, you know, it's the promises of God, because God wants the best for you. Amen. And sometimes we do have to complain, but watch what we're complaining about. Let's not complain about God, or the blessings of God. But when we have to truly put in a complaint in customer service, that's a different story, because God wants us, we're important to God, and he's going to give us our very, very best. But sometimes the enemy tries to get in there and opposition comes in. And if you don't say anything and you just settled, that's not the way to go. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you get too comfortable, if you get too comfortable in the Lord, you're not allowing him for his power to go through you. Amen. Sometimes God puts you in an uncomfortable position because he wants you to do something for him, and not everything that you do for the Lord is comfortable. Amen. Because God doesn't want you to depend on your own understanding, on your own strength, but it is in his power. Amen. That things will flow. So if you're afraid, if somebody comes to you and says, you know, can you pray over me? Can you lay hands over me? And you become afraid to pray or even lay hands on that person, the power of God will never flow. So we have to get out of comfort zone and allow the Holy Spirit to flow, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to flow through us in his power, in his energy, in his spirit. There is power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, but if we get too comfortable, you will never experience what God has for you. Amen. And unfortunately, the Israelites, they felt they were more comfortable back in Egypt. Because things got difficult. Things got a little bit challenging. There was not much food or anything else, but you see how God miraculously, all they had to do was ask for it and God provided. But instead of asking, they were complaining. So for us, we just gotta ask, speak, and it shall be, instead of complaining, you know, about how hard it looks or how hard we think it's going to be. Amen. I'm trying to get out of it. I know things are not going to be easy, comfortable. Amen. Once we get the church, you know, the sanctuary up, I think I was talking to Brother Mark this week. Amen, Brother Mark. What did you say? Can you quote that for us? What the Lord told you about if much is given to you? Amen. And we have to prepare ourselves, amen, that the more God gives us, the more will be required. At least I need to prepare. I'm preparing myself already. I've been preparing myself, amen. All of us. So we can't sit comfortably, because there are people out there waiting for us to lay hands on them, waiting for us to give them a word. Do you know that the minute that we touch somebody, power flows out of us? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We are spiritual beings because we have the Holy Spirit now within us. Amen. So we get too comfortable, you're not really sitting in the promise of rest that the Lord has given you. We got to rest in God. We got to rest in His promises. And when you do that, you're going to look back and you're going to be like, wow, amazing. This is really good. Amen. I mean, so God has made us a promise. It is a promise of rest. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord is saying here, even though the Israelites were disobedient and they lacked belief in Him, they lacked the belief of the promised land. I mean, when we look at scripture, we see that during the time that they were in the wilderness, right? The Lord told Moses, send out 12 spies. Check out that land. This is the promised land right here. Go send those spies, 12 of them, one from each tribe. Tell them to go check it out and let them come back with a report. What was the report? They came back. 10 out of 12 that came back, they came with fear. They came, we see, you know, that's found, I don't want to take up much of the time, but it is found in when we go to the book of Numbers, if you want to go there real quick, I kind of highlighted a few things. The book of Numbers, in chapter 13, speaks about the spies that were sent into the land of Canaan. That was the promised land that God told the Israelites, I have a land filled with milk and honey. This is for you. This is the land that I've given you. Amen. All you got to do is possess it. Possess it. That's all you got to do. And the Lord was with them. He never left them. He was always with them. So, you know, so the Lord spoke to Moses saying in 13:1 and 2, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which, and the Lord is saying to Moses, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So the Lord said, send one man from each tribe. That's 12 people. Amen. And in When they came back, they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless," here we go. Nevertheless, in verse 28, it says, "The people who dwell in the land are strong." There comes fear, right? "The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there," which they're so fearful of this tribe. Amen. "The Amalekites dwell in this land, the Hittites," and they just saw, enormous opposition when they went into this land. And then one of the men, because remember that it was Joshua and Caleb, right? It was the two out of the 12 that they came back with faith. They came back saying, no, we're not going to allow what we saw deter us from what God has promised us. But then Caleb went ahead and said, you know, in 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able, to overcome it." Why? Because the Lord was with them, because he had faith, because he believed the word of the Lord, because he has obeyed God from the beginning of time. Amen. I said, if God promised this, we can do this, because God is strong. He wins our battles. They know the word of God. Amen. God made them a promise. Amen. Hallelujah. And then 31 says, "But the man who had gone up with him said, we are not able." Look at this. "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." So we were in their sight. They saw themselves as little tiny grasshopper, little ants, little weeny people. But God is so much bigger than that. So much stronger and greater and powerful and limitless. Amen. So what they allow their eyes, amen, to dictate to them what they should do. Amen. Instead of allowing their spirit and their faith to dictate to them what God has said. Amen. Do you see this? Amen. How fear came in, how they trembled. And the only two that stood strong and said, "Oh, we can do this," was Joshua and Caleb. Amen. And this is what's sad about this whole thing. Amen. And let me see if I can find it. I'm going to go to 14:26. Well, let's go to 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully," in other words, his spirit has faith in God. He has believed in the Lord. Amen. "He has followed," in other words, obeyed me fully. "I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But you little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, and your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. Amen. So we know from Scripture that only Joshua and Caleb and their generation made it to the promised land, but everybody else never got to enter it, never got to enter the rest, the promise of rest that the Lord had given them because of unbelief and disobedience. Amen. And we are at a phase in this ministry that we need to stand strong. God forbid that the Lord calls our congregation evil. Amen. We got to stand strong, church. We got to stand in belief. You have to stand in confidence. And you have to have confidence, expectation that what God promised, at least the vision that he gave me 27 years ago, was a vision where I built a church. And I'm not saying I, because I can't physically do it. Amen. But today, what I believe is that under the leadership, amen, and God, you know very well that God is our great shepherd. He's the one that leads the church. He is the head of this church. Amen. And he has placed me in leadership. God gave me a vision 27 years ago. And in that vision, I built a church. I built a church on the south shore of a city. Amen. This church is going to be built on the south shore of a city. I have detail on that church building. God has made me a promise. I believe this is part of his promise to this ministry. Amen. And God has called me to build a church from the ground up. Amen. And that's what, and this is why we headed the way we were headed. We purchased land, but I believe with all my heart that God is going to make a way. Amen. I'm not saying God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm saying God, I know you're going to do it. I know it's going to come to pass. I know that the promise that you have given me and giving the church here, hallelujah, is going to come to fruition. We will have a sanctuary. We will have a temple of praise and worship. It will be a beacon of light for the community and surrounding regions. Amen. This God has promises, and He will fulfill it. God told me, you build it, they will come. It was a word from the Lord. God said, you build it, they will come. And when I sit back right now, I was just at the lot this week, and I sit back and I look, and I was like, wow. I began to rest in the promise of God. We have a piece of land. We have a promised land. We have a land flowing with milk and honey. If you can just see it visually, if you can just imagine it, if you can just visualize it, you will see that this church is, and this land is a land filled with milk and honey, because it's from God. Amen. It's not from man. It is a church, a sanctuary. The ground is holy, and it is from God. Amen. So when you look, when you pass by, for those that live in New York and in the Shirley or in Long Island, when you pass by the piece of land, if you don't know exactly where it's at, I can give you the address. Amen. But when you pass by, just park right in front and just call things out. the way you want them to be. Just close your eyes and see a church, see a steeple, see a sanctuary, see the people walking in, see the parking lot full of people. Amen. See people just smiling as they leave the church. See people, see the changes. Amen. You have to believe. You gotta rest in the promises of God. Amen. And that's what I'm doing. I'm resting in His promise. Amen. When God created and He finished with creating on the seventh day, God didn't just stop and take a nap. We're not talking about this type of rest. Amen. We're talking about resting in the beauty of God's holiness, in the beauty of His creation, in the promises that God has given us. It's about resting and just looking at the beauty, amen, of His holiness. His sanctuary is something that is holy. It is a place where we're going to reverence God. It is a place where we're going to worship God. No other spirit going to worship but the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is God Himself. Amen. So you can rest assured that God, when He sat back, He says, wow, what I created is good. It's good to my eyes. It is beautiful. And you got to believe that what God is going to create on that piece of land is going to be beautiful. Amen. Because it is, He's the master designer. Amen. He's the one that's going to put it all together. Amen. He's going to use us to give us the vision to make it all happen. And it's going to take all of us, not just some of us, not just the leadership. It's going to take all of us. Amen. To implement that which God has given us, because God will impart in you. Oh, maybe that should be this way, or maybe do this color, or maybe do this. God and our vision, my vision, your vision, if it's combined, if it's connected, it will be so. We will know it because it's spirit to spirit. Amen. God is going to speak to your spirit. God is going to speak to my spirit. And together we're going to design this church, and it's going to be gorgeous and beautiful, and it's going to be a beacon of light for our community. Amen. When you pass by, you're going to know, oh, this is a church of God right here. Amen. So, hallelujah. I'm just going back to the book of Hebrews real quick here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. This is not the time for us to give up or get too comfortable. Amen. You know, this is the time when we have to come together and pray together. Amen. We got to come on Saturdays and pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to pray. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, show us, give us discernment, show us the design. That's what I'm doing. I said, everywhere I go, I see something. I see something that brings me back to the sanctuary. I see something that may bring me back to the church that I built 27 years ago. Hence, you know, we understand that when I built it, we're in a different timeline right now. But the foundation, the detail, the holy ground, that doesn't change. Because God changes not. Amen. So there's certain details that will never change from 27 years ago to today. The faith is there. The faith to believe that it's going to be done is there. Amen. I didn't understand it then because I wasn't even a believer then. I became a believer 6 months after I put that project together. I even drew the project. Amen. So I didn't become a believer until 6 months later. So I had no idea that 28 years later, this was going to literally happen. Amen. And it's happening. It is happening, church. Amen. So, you know, God gave me a calling. He gave me a vision, and it hasn't been easy, but together with your support, You know, we can overcome opposition. We can overcome the enemy's tactics. But I'm pretty strong when it comes to the devil. I said, you know what? No. You know what? You're defeated. You're under my feet. You're going to have your way. God's going to have his way all the time because he always does. Amen. And we just got to bind and rebuke and tell him to get the heck out. Because there's no place for him in our ministry. There's no place. Amen. So he's got to go in the name of Jesus. And that's it, you know. And you have to declare that. You got to speak it out. Amen. So even though, you know, the Israelites, most of them didn't enter his rest. Why? Because of unbelief and disobedience. They didn't really enter his rest. Amen. But they missed the mark. And they missed out on something really, really good. Really good. Amen. But those who believed, those who walked faithfully with God, Caleb and Joshua and their descendants, they made it in. And we know the rest. They conquered, they possessed, they took over, and God was with them all the time. All the time. Amen. And the same thing's going to happen with us. God is with us. He's always been with us. He's never left us. Amen. But everything is in his timing. Remember, it took the Israelites 40 years to enter into the land of milk and honey. It ain't gonna take 40 years here. Amen. Because we are all believers. We obey the word of God. Amen. And we walk by faith. And when you combine faith with the word of God, you're good. Amen. That is entering. Amen. Entering the rest of God. You're going to sit back and you're going to be like, wow. Wow, Lord. How amazing are you? You made this happen. Amen. And it's going to, it's not just going to affect us today. It's going to affect our generation and those to come. Amen. So this is truly, truly a blessing from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that rest, you know, if we can just bask in the promises of the rest of God, it is his rest. Our children will be basking in the rest also. Amen. Because we got to share with them, this is what the Lord did. We have such a great testimony for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and those to come. Amen. But this is all God. This is all God. And God is using us as vessels because we are his messengers. We are his vessels. And he's going to use us just like he used Caleb and Joshua to bring the people into the promised land and take possession. Amen. And we have to take possession of the land that God has given us. We got to go enter it in without fear, but in faith. Amen. Not doubting, but knowing that God will do, amen, what he's promised, he will do. And this is confident expectation. You can confidently expect God to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. And you're not just going to live it in the natural, but you're going to also live it in the spiritual. You're going to witness it. You're going to feel it in the natural as well as spiritually. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see the beauty of his holiness. You're going to see it with your own eyes. And you spiritually, you're going to know it. This is the house of the Lord. This is the temple of praise and worship that we've been praying for years. Amen. And it's finally coming to pass. And the more we're together in it, the more we are in one mind and one accord, the faster you're going to see it being built. Amen. We got to be together. We got to stand in unity. We got to be in harmony together all believing the same way, obeying the word of the Lord. Amen. You know, if you have a dream, if God tells you something, share it with the leadership of the church. Let's bring it all together. Together we're building. Together we're building the kingdom of God. Together we're advancing the kingdom of God, because there are people waiting to be saved, waiting to be healed, waiting to be delivered, waiting to be restored. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, faith will result in movement, in obedience. And when you do that, the power of God will be seen. Amen. So let's keep our faith, church. Let's keep walking with God, knowing that it's already done. You gotta see it, you gotta believe it, and it shall be, because all things are possible with them that believe God. Amen. Amen. So rest assured, church, rest in the promises of God. And when you go home, and actually most of you are home, just sit back and just say, wow. You know, you look at your home, you look at your kids, you look at your grandkids, and you can rest in the promises of God and give him all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen. You are blessed.